Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
The following program was pre-recorded, and the views expressed do not necessarily represent those of this station or its management.
We don't need no education. We don't need no thought control.
Welcome to Education Nation, where we tackle the biggest issues in American education. School is now in session. Here are your hosts, Headmaster Rebecca Hagstrom and co-host Mark Durkin.
Hey, teacher, leave them kids alone.
Well, good evening, and thank you for joining us here on Education Nation. I am Headmaster and host Rebecca Hagstrom, and it's a privilege to join you every Saturday evening here on AM 1280 The Patriot. And I'm in studio, of course, once again with the producer of Education Nation and my co-host, who's a little under the weather today, Mark Durkin.
Yes, dragging throughout the week, but thank you, Lord, for soup broth and lots of orange juice. It gets you out of bed, right?
And DayQuil, too, maybe?
NyQuil.
NyQuil.
Got to get the sleep in at night for sure.
Oh, well, we're glad that you dragged yourself in today.
It's good to be here.
Can be part of our show, and we're always so grateful for all the work you do in preparation.
Why, thank you. It's always a pleasure to be here.
Yes, good. Well, did you know that research supports the idea that the study and participation in the arts is a key component in improving learning throughout all academic areas?
Yeah, that's right, Rebecca. Not only do the arts help children learn positive habits and behaviors and attitudes, the arts also help students sharpen critical intellectual skills and provide a visual context for learning about historical periods. Well, students also acquire needed skills to create, which affords them the opportunity to reflect God's creativity. And at Liberty Classical Academy, students are given the opportunity to explore the overall theme and meaning of any work of art from varying historical periods.
Mm-hmm. And our guest tonight has spent the last two decades educating students about ancient, medieval, Renaissance, and modern art. Susan Mackey is the art specialty teacher at Liberty Classical Academy. Susan specializes in introducing and encouraging artistic pursuits using classical education methods. Susan's work also extends outside of the classroom, serving as an art adventure guide and a trainer for the Picture Person program at the Minneapolis Institute of Art. We're so grateful for her joining us in studio tonight. Susan, welcome to Education Nation.
Thank you. It's good to be here.
That's great. And I might add that all of her, those two decades of experience have been spent mostly at Liberty Classical Academy. She has been on our staff since day one.
Day one.
Yes, she has. So we're just entering year 17. She does a phenomenal job, and we're grateful to have you.
Thanks.
Yeah. So as I said, you are in year 17 of teaching art from the classical perspective. And outside of Liberty, you also serve as an art adventure guide at the Minneapolis Institute of Art.
Mm-hmm.
What is an art adventure guide, and how is that job fulfilled at the Minneapolis Institute of Art?
Well, an art adventure guide is a volunteer position at the Minneapolis Institute of Arts that supports the museum, parents, and coordinators from a variety of schools around the greater Twin Cities area.
Mm-hmm.
So it offers carefully chosen sets of art from amazing animals all the way to sources of strength. And so after students learn about the art in their schools, they come to the museum, and I, as a guide, would lead them around and show them the real things and have further discussion.
Mm, that's so exciting. And I know we send our students there every year for a tour at the Minneapolis Institute of Art. And I know that that's something that you enjoy leading for our own students as well.
Yeah, our students are really equipped to go to the museum to identify art, and they're well-behaved, and they ask questions, they answer questions, they're not afraid to speak up.
Mm-hmm.
And so as the docents around the museum are really always happy to have them there.
Mm-hmm. Okay. In fact, I have to give a quick little anecdotal story that's kind of fun. I have a friend whose good friend is a docent at the Minneapolis Institute of Art, and the docents are, what would you say, Susan, like the highest trained tour guides at the Minneapolis Institute of
Yes,
Art?
Yes, the highest trained at the museum. They study longer. They have a longer program, and they can write their own talks and choose their own works when they go through the museum
okay.
sometimes.
Well, at any rate, one day I had this friend tell me that she was out to lunch with her friend who's a docent at the Minneapolis Museum of Art.
Okay.
And or Institute of Art. And she said that this woman went on and on and on about how excited she was about this group of kids who had toured the museum. And she said, oh, Pam, this just gives me such hope for our future. These kids were amazing. They asked such good questions. They were so respectful. They knew their history. And finally, Pam said, well, what school are these kids from anyway? And she said, well, they're from Liberty Classical Academy. And Pam said, you've got to be kidding me. I know the headmaster of that school. So we ended up with this fun little connection here with my friend's friend, who then Susan knows from okay. the Minneapolis Institute of Art. But what a wonderful, you know, encouragement that was to me to hear from a third-party source how impressed they are with our students. And I know, Susan, you tell me that every year the docents who tour our kids are always amazed.
Yeah, when they're done touring, they actually thank us for coming, and they're thankful that the kids are speaking up and not afraid to talk.
Yeah,
because a lot of times students don't want to talk and they don't want to be embarrassed or anything. But even our middle school and high school kids are just willing to answer questions and raise their hand and ask questions.
They're confident. That's wonderful.
Yeah. Yep. That confidence is huge. Well, your work at the Minneapolis Institute of Art also includes service as a picture person trainer. What is a picture person trainer, and what would you, or can you share some examples of how you satisfy that job description?
Well, a picture person trainer trains the parents or volunteers that go into the schools. And so it's a good time to walk through the museum. They come to the museum and we sit down and we have discussions about art and prepare them for what it's going to be like when they're teaching students.
Mm.
And so it's a very relaxed time. We have conversation. They ask questions. They have some information. And then I train them to further the discussion with students and how to ask the right questions to get kids talking.
Oh, that's wonderful.
Mm. Mm-hmm. Well, given your wide range of teaching experiences, Susan, tell us why art is an important subject in the formation of a student's learning experience.
Well, that's a big question. At Liberty, the students are making connections. We teach ancient, medieval, Renaissance history over and over again through first grade through fifth grade, and then, fifth grade through eighth grade, they'll repeat ancient, medieval, Renaissance, modern, and in ninth grade, repeat it again. So we are formulating connections with what they've learned as younger students to how and add to that information until they graduate from high school. So we also have connections with the science department, history, math, and drama, so that art helps the students become more well-rounded as they grow up and go out into the world. They'll know different cultures, they'll know different arts, and how those things connect.
And I know I've always been so impressed with how you've been able to take the historical time period that each of the grades are studying, and you teach them the art from that time period as well, and even some of the techniques.
Yes.
It's really exciting.
And we'll certainly get into all of that a little bit later over the next couple of shows here.
Yep.
We are speaking with Susan Mackey here, the art specialty teacher at Liberty Classical Academy here on Education Nation. And let's now talk specifically about teaching art. We've mentioned about using the classical method. Explain for our listeners why it's important that art is taught from the Christian worldview in a classical education setting.
Well, we all know that God created everything.
Everything.
And so beginning with the colors of the rainbow, the students learn the colors, and then God is a God of order. Those things don't change. And so we can incorporate that in teaching them colors, color theory, color schemes, and it's set because God created it. So we are happy to share the word of God, make connections with the Bible. first graders might learn about Icarus falling from the sky at the same time as learning perspective of foreshortening as Icarus is falling to the ground. So we can really make those connections connected to God. And art and the Bible go hand in hand so often. During the medieval times, religion was so important, and symbolism, and people who couldn't read learned from art about God. And their daily prayers were done every day, and there's pictures of it. Mm-hmm. And the monks hand wrote the Bible, and the printing press was, you know, later right. developed. So we're just like teaching students how the monks would write and the scribes would write the Bible and illuminate it and put themselves into it and express themselves with these cute little pictures that if you're not really observing it, you're never going to see them. Mm-hmm. But it's beautiful. And so even the second graders are learning how to illuminate words and letters and phrases. So and then again in sixth grade, we see that again and again.
Mm-hmm. Mm. You know, you work with students, you mentioned, through the whole spectrum of K through 12. And I want to first discuss art instructions for that lower school. You know, let's look at some things specifically, kindergarten through fifth grade. You know, what does the incorporation of the classical teaching method look like in the subject of art with these lower school students? Like, how would you build, say, from the point of kindergarten up to the fifth grade? What are you getting them ready for then, too?
Well, in the classical tradition, kindergarten through the beginning of middle school, they are the grammar stage.
Yeah.
So they are excited to learn. They love to learn by movement and chants and songs, and they're excited to just learn new things. And so in the very young age, we teach them the elements of art, mm-hmm. The elements of shape even, the very basic, how to make a shape and then how those shapes get turned into objects and forms. And so they're learning through chants. We move around. We sing. We use hand motions and gestures for shapes, lines, values, colors, textures, forms. They're all doing these movements with their body.
Okay.
When we stand... sometimes we stand in contrapposto, which is the way the ancients would stand for their statues. Hmm. And so they're getting up and standing strong, like David in the mm-hmm. statue that Michelangelo sculpted. So, mm-hmm. you know, we do that. And we sometimes we stand in Trinity position, which is in standing in the word of the Lord. And because it's a strong position, it's a triangle. And art uses triangles
yeah.
to, you know, compose their pictures. I mean, it's so we really can make those connections through God, through movement, and they're learning how to compose a picture at the same time.
Wow.
They, you know, it's all really fun. And we can even, you know, learn that, you know, the Vikings in the second grade are just, you know, fighters. And so we stand and in our strength positions and we can make noises and we can move forward and battle. Mm-hmm. But we're standing in the truth of the Lord. And it's just mm-hmm. really fun because we're just making that kind of fun but meaningful mm-hmm. Art mm-hmm. connections.
Mm-hmm. And not only are you teaching them those basic elements and form and that type of thing, but you're also, I know, helping them look at the type of art that comes from each of those time periods and that type of thing. And now maybe we're going to talk about that very soon. But I want to make sure that our listeners get to hear some of the actual projects that you're doing with the kids, because you don't just teach them these songs and chants and the form, which is actually amazing because so often – you know, in schools, the art is just more like a tiny little project of some kind. But you actually tie it all together. There's that integration piece with the artwork itself.
So in the kindergarten stage, the students are learning a lot about a variety of artists. Mm-hmm. And we just sort of build and build how to make shapes and forms and turn those shapes into animals. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, putting a vase on a table, a horizon. Mm-hmm. And then in first grade, we really hit it hard with the ancient art And we have to learn why was the ark created? What were the traditions of the Egyptians? Mm-hmm. And so what were their body forms? Why are they all looking in one direction? And so we draw those things. We build canopic jars or cartonnages, and then they do Greek vases. And it might be paper mache, but then they learn about the patterns of the culture and the importance of the Greek vase. Why was it given away? It was given to the Olympians or something like that. Mm-hmm. So, and then in second grade, they are learning about medieval history. So we learn about the fall of the Roman Empire and where did the Vikings come from and who were they attacking, and why was the Bible being written over and over? Why were hours and hours being spent and spreading the word of God? And so they do, you know, projects of illuminated letters. They learn about the ships of the Vikings. How did they travel? And then in third grade, it starts out with the American and French Revolution. Mm-hmm. And we can look at the art in America. We can look at the art in Europe, the masters. And then so they start to learn about humanism already, mm-hmm, and mm-hmm, that the people were more interested in people and they were drawing themselves, or they were having the patrons pay artists to put them in the artworks to make them appear humble and pious. So and then modern history, we're looking at there's such a huge variety of modern artists, and how did that connect to history, and why were they breaking away from tradition and doing their own thing? Mm-hmm. Does that answer your question?
Yes, no, it does. And it just what your point was there a few moments ago about learning about humanism already in third grade with respect to the art, it also emphasizes, reemphasizes the need for there to be that Christian worldview within the school, because then you're able to help them understand the focus should still be on having our identity in Christ and not on ourselves. But mm-hmm, but this is teaching them, this is how the world progressed. This is how history progressed.
Right.
And how the artwork was tied to that, so they have a better understanding. Like even the sculpture of David, my understanding is, why is it so large? You know, do you want to talk about that briefly?
Well, David is, what we focus a lot on about when we talk about David is that he's in that contrapposto position. Mm-hmm. He is a young youth, right? And he seems so calm and assured of himself, mm-hmm, through God, mm-hmm, right? I mean, he had that faith that he could do anything. Mm-hmm. And so in the lower school, I really probably wouldn't touch too much about that. They were just the ancient Greeks were actually even saying that we are everything. Mm-hmm. We're all that. Mm-hmm. So their artwork really reflects that stoicism. Mm-hmm. And so throughout history, even the image of David has sort of changed. Like, was he strong? Was he a boy? Was he, you know, and Michelangelo's David, he's mm-hmm, so strong, mm-hmm, so invincible. Mm-hmm. And so that, you know, the humanism would say that we are all that, you know, we're the most important things, mm-hmm, in the world, rather than the medieval time when everything was, you know, glorify God, mm-hmm, even, you know, church windows, Gothic style, pointing to heaven, mm-hmm, you know, and spending years and years on building those buildings.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So interesting, that connection between art and history. It's very mm-hmm, amazing. You talked mostly about the lower school with respect to the historical sequence. Can you take us through the learning experience for the middle school students as it pertains to incorporating history into your artwork?
Well, middle school students are still rather interested in learning, and they have a little more questions. They're entering into the logic phase. Mm-hmm. So they're trying to make connections and want to be assured that they know what's going on. And so at Liberty Classical Academy, we have 6th, 7th, and 8th in middle school. And that's mm-hmm, medieval, Renaissance, and modern. Mm-hmm. And in the middle school, 6th grade medieval, they might be working on shields and heraldry.
Okay.
So we can address that. We can address that there was so much symbolism in the art. You know, we talk about the doves and the Holy Spirit, and you know, the the symbols of the United States, the eagles, the feathers, the arrows, and why are even in the United States we have all these symbols, and how it connects to God ordaining us to be in the United States and just setting this land open for us. So there's so much that they can look at. We look at landscapes, and they can build their more of a, what America looks like. Yeah. So, and then Renaissance are also learning how to, you know, draw themselves, getting more detailed into the aspects of drawing, creating shades and values, and the importance of portraiture, and, you know, why did people draw themselves so much, and why was that important? And then we also can look at what I love about, you know, landscapes is that Albert Bierstadt is one of my favorite artists, and he created America look beautiful. Mm. And so it's sort of spreading the word that, you know, this land is your land. This is our land. Mm-hmm. And it's always beautiful. All his paintings are beautiful. Mm. It makes the United States look beautiful, open. Uh-huh. And the people are small, but the land is big.
Interesting. So, so that perspective is important. It's an important message. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That's interesting. And then finally, can you talk with our listeners about the different learning opportunities available to the students in the upper school program, art program at Liberty?
Well, at Liberty, the high school, the upper school, is we offer advanced drawing. We offer drawing. We offer mixed media, sculpture, and
painting,
mm-hmm. of course, because some students, it's really funny because there's the students that just don't like to paint, but love to draw and can draw, you know, circles around us. You know, they just love to draw, and painting is scary because it ruins their drawing or something. And so they're also very much more ready to do their own thing, and they're very self-motivated. And so it's really wonderful to see high school's students in the art room because they have a vision of what they want, mm-hmm. and they try to get that down.
Mm-hmm. And that really ties into the rhetoric stage too, because at that point the students are becoming more independent, and the goal is to help them learn to communicate what they've analyzed and synthesized inside of them. So when you apply that to art, then they're creating a lot more rather than you dictating kind of what they should draw or what they should paint.
Exactly. And one of the beauties of art is most students are good at something. Mm-hmm. God has given them a gift. Mm-hmm. And so when they're in the art room, some students who might not excel in other areas blossom in the art room. Mm-hmm. And so that's their gift from God. Mm-hmm. And that is how they make connections, how they settle down. And it could give their brain an opportunity to do better in their other classes.
Yeah,
because they are focusing, they are making decisions, they are making choices, mm-hmm. they're having to take risks. Mm-hmm. So, and it's really a beautiful thing to see.
Yeah, that's a great point.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know, as we're getting towards the end of this this first show, let's just spend a couple minutes talking about the principle of art that middle and upper school students incorporate when it comes to art and history.
Okay. Well, the principles of art, and on one hand, is the balance, contrast, emphasis, movement, pattern, rhythm, and you put it all together with the unity. That's one of our songs. Mm-hmm. We start to learn when they're young.
You can give them a couple of the songs.
I really can't sing very well, but they go with it. So in the middle and upper school, they are going to make those connections. The elements of arts are the pieces.
Okay.
Okay, like shapes, lines, values, mm-hmm. colors, textures, form. And then the balance is just like, how do you compose a work of art to make it interesting? And then we start learning that art is meant to tell a story and reach people. And so what you want to do is have people stay in your work of art, stay in your picture. You don't want them looking elsewhere. You want them to think about what you've done, why you've done it, what choices you've made. Mm-hmm. So you're making something beautiful. Mm-hmm. You're something pleasing to God, something truthful. Mm-hmm. And so we just learn to make those pictures better.
Mm-hmm. That whole notion of truth, beauty, and goodness.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. And so those balances and everything that they put into their artwork, you want people to look at it. You want to tell your story. You want to express yourself so that that's what they can do better in the middle and, mm-hmm. and upper school, especially upper school. Mm-hmm.
So as you're incorporating really all of those, you know, different styles, I mean, obviously the students, they have the education because they've taken one lesson to the next lesson to that, where they can then start to differentiate and see all those differences to make the whole piece. But I'm just curious, you know, even like with your work at the Minneapolis Institute of Art, how you would even begin to teach those that are coming through the Institute of how to separate all those different principles to then come to the conclusion that they may come to.
So you're saying the students that come to the museum that haven't had me before.
Exactly.
Oh, we, well, first of all, when you look at a work of art, you actually have to spend some time looking at it.
Right.
And I call it, it's like reading a book, but you're reading with your eyes mm-hmm. and trying to make connections. You're looking at the colors and the shapes, just like the, you know, the elements of art.
Right.
And then you kind of put it together. Is there a story? Is there a narrative? Mm-hmm. So students can start to tell their own story. And then there's a truth to the story. And then is it pleasing? Is it beautiful? Mm-hmm. Do they like it? Is it disturbing? What are they getting from it? So you can teach almost anybody those things. Mm-hmm. I know my sound oversimplified, but sometimes we just say, what do you see? And what makes you say that? Back up what you see and tell me what you're experiencing.
And you probably point out some of those things like form and the elements and color and horizon and things like that as you're going through. Well, I know we are winding down here in just our last, you know, minute and a half here, but at Liberty, we also put on an art show for all the different students. Do you want to very briefly tell our listeners what that looks like?
It's an amazing thing to see because you see the fruits of the students' labors, and they remember what they did. Mm-hmm. Their families come in and see what they've accomplished, and it's usually a lot more than you would expect.
Oh my gosh. People are blown away usually by what they...
And even the kids are just like, I love it that they compliment each other.
Yeah.
You know, and they're like, wow, that's great. And then, you know, how did you do that? And they look to the upper school or the middle school and they say, I want to draw like that, you know? Mm-hmm. And I, you know, and it's, so it's really a fun thing to witness and to be a part of. And we just put up so much art and we try to showcase the what they've done and the history they've learned, and we definitely try to show that, you know, ancient and the medieval and the Renaissance and the modern and the changes of the art and what the kids can do.
Yeah, it's really an amazing thing, and it's one of our family's favorite events of the year. Well, Susan, it's really a pleasure to have you on our show this evening, and we look forward to having you back in next week when we continue this conversation. But again, we've welcomed Susan Mackey, art teacher at Liberty Classical Academy, and we thank our listeners for joining us. And thank you, Mark, for hanging in there with your sickness.
Good to see you.
Appreciate
thank
that.
You,
thank you.
And if you'd like to listen to this podcast or any other of our podcasts, you can go to ednationmn.org, ednationmn.org. See you next week.
With everything you have on your plate, earning your degree online seems impossible. But at Grand Canyon University, we specialize in helping you fit a master's degree in business into your busy day. Your graduation team, led by your own GCU counselor, provides you with the personal support you need to succeed. Achieve your goals with a plan and team behind you. Find your purpose at Grand Canyon University. Visit gcu.edu.